This is Pure Decking for Thursday. What is the day? December something. December the 6th, you know, 2028. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that I have forgotten to write a new joke for the intro of the show for the past 3 weeks. I'm Morps, and tonight I'm drinking the last Newcastle in the refrigerator. And we have Aryu.
Well.
And
water.
I'm creative.
Right on. And Suave.
Some kind of vodka.
We think it's vodka. We found it in the basement. The label was in Russian, and we're drinking it, damn it.
Stocks are running low.
Times are getting desperate. I don't know if Madman's going to be joining us or not. I assume so.
He'll show up eventually.
All right, Madman may be joining us.
I'll put the bowl out. When he gets hungry, he'll come in.
So, let's see. First thing to talk about. Apparently, Linux.org just got defaced like a few minutes ago. It's currently got quite the image on it.
I'm still trying to figure out if that is Madman.
I wouldn't actually recommend going to it at the moment, but
it's not safe for work. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's something. So let's see here. We got our black background with some green text, and written in pseudo leet speak, it says, "Get owned, nerds," or "Get owned, Linux nerds." Rip my nigga Terry Davis. Fuck the cock. Fuck SJWs. Training Linux Destroyer, public enemy number one, hbstwitter.com/CarolineAda, where.caroline.codes, legal name, Corey Dale Imke. Oh, that's what this is about.
Oh, is he doxing someone?
Yeah, he's dumping all of Caroline Ada's phone numbers, emails, addresses. They're social, so you
user
really
joined your
probably
channel.
Shouldn't go in there. We might have just had a Madman.
Maybe. It's possible.
It's entirely possible. Madman, what alcohol are you consuming?
I'm consuming, and I'm sad to say it, Sam Adams Pumpkin Ale, but I'm running out of beer. That was among the last in the fridge.
Yeah, we're all kind of at the end of the, kind of the last of what we got, aren't we?
Ooh, I could have gone with harder stuff. I've actually got some decent bourbon. I've already opened the beer.
Yeah, I'm drinking my last Newcastle.
Why not both?
So, anyways, so whoever it is that did this is obviously upset about the Linux adopting the code of conduct. And, that's a picture of somebody's asshole at the bottom of the page there. Anything else? Nope.
I tell you, if it's a selfie, it's a well-taken selfie.
But yeah, they're obviously doxing Caroline Ada over the code of conduct there. And so it's an interesting point to bring up that, you will hear from a lot of people that, oh, running Linux makes you secure. Well, kind of. It's not that you're... Linux as an operating system is more secure than Windows at design. But you can lock any operating system down. It's just, are you doing the work, and do you have somebody who is doing enough work to try to get into your system to attack it? You know, on random Windows on any random Windows box, for the most part, you generally have, you know, you got to worry about all the malware, all the click scam stuff, you know, all the general kind of mass exploit stuff is thrown at the Windows boxes. And whereas Linux servers tend to make up the majority of what's on the internet these days, it's not actually a vulnerability in Linux, especially when you're defacing a web page. It's usually a vulnerability in whatever content management system they've installed on the server for managing the website, or potentially you have some poor OPSEC. Maybe the box wasn't configured correctly. Maybe they managed to phish somebody's password who was an admin on the site. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe the admin on the site really, really didn't like the code of conduct.
That's happened, actually. Generally, it's more the admin on the site didn't get paid, but that has happened where, for one reason or another, one of the IT guys running the site just decided, fuck this shit. The fact that it's still, it's been over an hour since you told me to pull it up, the fact that it's still defaced after about an hour is pretty interesting, because usually a defacement doesn't last that long. Somebody will notice that the admin will get in there and restore a backup, lock people out, whatever, or at least take the site down, like just shut the server down so you just get a redirect or something, or even just a 502 or a 4, you know, you even just get a 404 or a web page couldn't even load. Depending on how their systems are set up.
I'm going to have to look into it, but I think it may have come down and then gone back up again.
Ooh.
It seems to have changed. I'm going to have to look for screenshots, but I don't remember seeing this. I just pulled it back up, and the first time I saw it, I don't remember seeing this line of text on the right-hand side. That appears to be new.
You fucking goymans can't shut me down that easy? I don't know that word. I'm actually a little bit out of date on my 4chan insults here. At least I assume it's a 4chan insult because of the 4chan post seeing right below it.
I don't remember seeing
means
that.
Means Jew.
Oh, now I know what that word is. Yeah, it's just, okay. Yes.
Yeah, and if you scroll all the way down, there's some stuff being added to it.
No, there hasn't, you dick. I didn't want to see that.
The bottom right, bottom left.
Just all the email addresses?
No, there's a like a screenshot of a message board. I don't remember seeing that the first time I pulled that up.
No, you're right. Yeah, I just reloaded it and it's changed again.
Yeah.
So
it's currently being defaced. Right now, live.
Yeah, so somebody's really, really going to town on their server. If I had to get, so whatever they've done, they haven't just said fuck it and pulled the plug yet, which is interesting. Usually, that's what happens when it's been defaced for that long. Is whoever's running the servers will just start shutting them down so they can go clean them out and figure out what the hell's going
on.
Oh,
I'm calling it now. It was an inside job.
Well, it could be. It depends on how the stuff's hosted, because in the old days, if your website started getting defaced like this and you were running a physical machine or even virtual machines, you'd go kill the network interface so you could get in the logs and clean it up. But with cloud hosting, that actually gets a lot harder. I know how to do it in AWS. I'm not so sure in Azure how you'd go about offlining a box so that you couldn't get at it from the internet, so you could try to understand how somebody keeps getting back into it and what they're doing. And if they're just flat out in your cloud services account, you're really screwed. And I think we even talked about companies on Decking years ago. There was that backup company that... was it a backup company or was it a code company? Maybe a code repository company. That somebody got into their AWS account and just deleted everything, and they just had to shut down. It's like, we got nothing left.
Oops.
So depending on how they were hosting Linux.org, they may, I don't know. I mean, they may not be able to get them out. So, but yeah, whoever it is somebody who's really upset about the code of conduct, but... running Linux doesn't make you more secure. Doesn't make you secure. It's more secure by default than Windows, but there's still a little bit more involved in locking down a web server and keeping this shit from happening than just running Linux. So for anybody making that argument, well, but I don't know. Madman, are you? Thoughts, Suave?
This isn't helping his argument.
No, it's making him look like a child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like if you're going to go and hack something to make a statement, you'd probably find something a little bit more worthwhile than like bitching about a code of conduct for a software development company. Or organization, I guess would be the right term.
I probably wouldn't have gone with the big brown eye.
Yeah. It just went into a DNS resolution error. Okay, so they were sitting behind Cloudflare. So
they're actually listening to the show and they're like, "Oh shit, we got hacked."
Well, they're going, "Oh yeah, offline the server so we can do forensics. That's a good idea." It's like that's what you always used to do in a situation like this. Or you'd throw up the flat page that nobody could modify because it's like hosted out of an S3 bucket or some bullshit, right? So very quickly redirected over to a GeoCities page, and or I guess a WordPress.org page in this case. But yeah, so they've completely offlined it. Now it's getting a DNS error. So we'll check on it throughout the status of the show. Just occasionally keep reloading Linux.org. That's probably a bad idea, and you should probably be doing it in a virtual machine. But since my machine's already acting a little flaky, I don't exactly want to start one up. So I suppose we could do it on the broadcast box, but again, I don't know that I want to do that. But I don't recommend people sit there and reload hacked web pages constantly. But yeah, what the fuck, I will.
This is a do as we don't do situation.
It's like, yeah, this is how you get shit installed on your machine, so it's probably a bad idea. But anyways, so in the meantime, we'll go into this the other major tech story that I thought was going to be the primary discussion topic tonight, and Putar, you pointed out Linux.org was actively being hacked. this article's from The Verge, but of course it's all over the place. On December 17th, Tumblr's ban on adult content will go into effect, meaning that all pictures, GIFs, and videos that feature erotic content will be removed from the site. In the future, ongoing moderation duties will be handled by automated software and decided on by humans, although the first waves of content flagging appear to have been done by AI. The reaction to the news was immediate and distinct. Porn has been tactically allowed on Tumblr since its founding in 2007, and people were mostly angry at what they saw as an action that could alienate users and fandoms that threatened the fabric of the social network itself.
Good.
Ooh. They said they're going to have AI, so how is the AI going to recognize the porn where the jet eats the other jet and they're having sex in its stomach?
You know, when it's drawn in MS Paint, it's kind of hard to distinguish what the squiggly lines are.
I do remember reading when this was first announced that it's only about 10% of Tumblr's blogs are actually not safe for work. So it's not going to be a huge hit.
No, but I think it's more of just a sheer principle of the thing. You're going to have everybody putting up their protest pages, probably on Tumblr. change your avatar.
Tumblr how much you hate them by using their platform.
I just love that they're coming out going, "No, you can't stop us from looking at inflation porn and all this other bestiality stuff. No, that's immoral. You can't stop us from looking." Hang on a minute. Check your argument, kids. You know what I mean? No, it's just because it's underage, but it's not that underage. Love it all ages. Stop looking at child porn. You're a child pornographer. No, I'm a loving every age person.
I'm going to ask, and I'm afraid to ask, what the fuck is inflation porn?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hold my hand.
Do you want
Wolf.
A visual aid, or do you just want me to describe it?
I do. How am I going to do a visual aid on an audio-based program?
Anthropomorphic vehicles. with swollen stomachs with other anthropomorphic vehicles in it.
Okay, okay, I gotta Google this.
Okay. Yeah,
like, in the movie Cars, right?
Yeah, okay. It's like that. Okay, okay, you know how furries like animals? Yeah, these like trains and planes and shit. And do all the degenerate
shit. Oh, that's so weird.
And they also like eating their sex partners. Yeah. During or after the act of arousal.
There's never been happier to have been out of the loop on weird internet porn.
It's fucking hilarious, and we were having a little, you know, smugly chuckle about this yesterday. How come 4chan is now the arbiter of fucking morals?
Yeah. But
they're the ones pointing out that you shouldn't have child pornography. And maybe this fur fag shit has gone too far when you're posting pictures of the dead animals you fucked. There actually are tumblers out there where the people are posting pictures of the animals they just killed after they raped. Trust me, don't go too far down the rabbit hole with this shit. It hurts.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, there's some sick shit. Yeah, there's some sick shit going on.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
You know what? Our society deserves death for that. I mean, it's just, you know what? Fuck it. We're already going downhill. Just, you know, at this point, stop fighting it.
There's been a real push to, like, put some light on this fucking degeneracy. And it actually, the people that started doing it thought it would be a lot harder to find this shit. But it turns out they weren't even hiding it anymore. It's in plain sight and in plain text.
I'm not sure it was ever being hidden on Tumblr to begin with. You could easily find it.
Yeah.
Well, you would have to punch certain phrases of words into Google that nobody would have. I am not clicking that, Suave. I don't care. I am not taking that risk.
Do you like comic books?
Yeah, I like comic books.
I actually went out of my way to find a relatively innocuous picture.
I don't believe you.
I say relatively, because I really regret looking through Google image search on that search term.
Yeah.
It's not something I should have done.
And I, for one, I'm glad they're doing it. These sick fuckers can fuck off.
Honestly, I'm guessing like Tumblr just figured like these people are so fucked and into such twisted shit, they're not going to make a big public fuss out of this because they wouldn't want anybody to know. And they just totally
they're proud of
just
it.
Misunderstood the level of depravity.
Since people started looking into this, there has been several arrests made by local authorities over bestiality and animal cruelty charges.
Good.
There's going to be a lot more, too, because most of these people are going to roll over on their friends.
They're going to find an inflation porn ring.
If only it was just that. Some of this shit that people have waded through to post to, you know, cleanse light. Let light sunshine on it. Man, I tip my hat. And you know what? A lot of them are going to have fucking drinking problems after this. it's absolutely insane.
So let's do the first couple of paragraphs here on the Verge article. The ban on adult content will affect a truly staggering number of blogs, as Katie Nuttaplus pointed out on BuzzFeed News. I'm guessing that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of blogs that will be shut down and disappear forever, she writes. And God knows how many millions of individual posts contain what is deemed adult content. While Tumblr wouldn't comment on the record about the policy change, instead referring me to a blog about it, I guess they're referring to the author's, you know, first person there, it's fairly easy to figure out why the company acted so quickly. Last month, Tumblr's official app was removed from Apple's App Store over the discovery of child pornography on the site.
Oops.
That's why they're doing it. They're banning all porn, so Apple will let them back on their platform.
Fair enough.
So when does Apple ban the web browser from iPhones and iPads? So I'm just curious. Let's see. The article goes on comparing it. Apparently, Live Journal did something similar back in the day, where they used to allow porn and then banned it, and now Live Journal's pretty much gone. And the rest of the article's going on about that. But I don't really care enough about Tumblr. I mean, I think it's kind of fun to point and laugh at it, especially with all the weirdness on there. But you know, if Tumblr goes the way of LiveJournal and becomes a tiny little thing that nobody cares about anymore, well, whatever. But lately I've seen several articles about how I don't have any links for them because I didn't want to read them. But it's just honest truth. I'm looking at that going, nope. There's several articles now complaining about how Tumblr banning porn is attack on the sex positive communities and various subcultures and attacking the gays and attacking the whatever other, you know, minority groups.
You be all fag you want, but when you're molesting children and fucking killing animals and raping them, I'm sorry. That's the hill I'm dying on.
Well,
you ain't fucking doing that shit on my watch, man.
So here's the question, though. If they're not doing that on Tumblr, I mean, there's probably
100 somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably 100 other of these free blog sites out there for people to do this shit on. So it's
I think I read an article the other day, one of those alternative Reddits. I can't remember which one it was. Just banned a bunch of kiddie porn groups.
Yeah, these people don't stop.
Yeah.
Like, the only way to stop them is to expose them for what they are.
So they get arrested.
And then just watch them justify it. Like, they genuinely think this is, oh, you're kink-shaming me. You've just killed that fucking dog, you asshole. I'm no fan of dogs. But Jesus Christ. Some of the videos they posted up there? God damn it.
Yeah, let's, yeah.
There's not a stopping it. There's just a continued to hunt it down.
Yeah.
And shoot it when you find it. I know there's more zombies in the closet. They always fucking respawn.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to shoot the ones I find.
Yeah, and to the people that started this and did it all, fucking Godspeed, dudes. You guys are fucking awesome.
Of course, if that's all it takes to get an app pulled out of the store is just posting something on their service and then complaining to Apple about it, you could have a lot of fun with a lot of these platforms.
Yeah, and I'm mostly of the opinion it's generally not the platform's fault what people do with it.
Yeah.
But there's a point where your platform becomes known for something, and if you're not actively policing it, you are condoning it.
Well, at this point, I don't think there wasn't anybody who didn't know Tumblr was full of weird porn.
Oh, no. Tumblr knew it was full of weird porn. That's where you go for weird porn.
Well, really? Up until the 17th.
Up until the 17th, I'll give you that.
But, yeah.
I guess E-Fucked will have to come back.
I think it still exists.
I'm not typing it in.
Either am I.
Well, let's just reload linux.org. It might redirect to refucked at this point. Nope, still getting an error of 1001, so nope, it's still down. So, anyway.
What about Facebook? I was missing where that was thrown up. Did Facebook get caught with anything?
No, but I'm sure people have been putting stuff on there. And that's looking at the IRC here. So, Cycros is inflatable butt plugs, I assume. Oh, no, I scrolled up too far. Let's see. What about Facebook? Surely CP has been on there, however briefly. Facebook and Microsoft, I know because we've done articles about them, have entire teams of people that are sitting there reviewing their content 24/7 for this kind of stuff. And, in fact, we did the article on Microsoft about how their content reviewers for their different networks
they're getting PTSD
and we're actually in, because I remember because I had started that article thinking I was going to make fun of the people, you know, fake claiming PTSD like people on Tumblr tend to do. And then about halfway through the article, I realized, oh, this is real. And then I felt really bad.
So, like, if looking at kiddie porn is illegal, how do the people who are reviewing all this stuff, how are they allowed to look at it?
Looking at it's not illegal. Sharing possessing it.
Sharing it's illegal. Possessing
but,
it.
But
and
they would have to
others.
Possess it to have it on their computer in order to display it on their computer.
Well, at that point, you have to report it right away and say it came from here. And,
oh, okay.
You know.
Right.
I think if you're reporting it and not collecting it, that's where your loophole is. Your job is to sit there and manually filter through the worst fucking images ever.
I have a little bit of experience.
I have a solution to all the PTSD. They go through, find all the blogs that they've banned from Tumblr, and hire them to go and review the.
Oh no! They'll just sit there. A dick and a dead dog. Oh, that's fine. Put that up. That's safe for work. Because that's where their morality is.
I suppose.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with RU on this one.
Yeah. No, that's a bad idea.
That's their level of fucking, this is good. That's great. Oh, look, roadkill that. Oh, I might have a fetish for that. Yes, put that in the safe for work. Oh, look at that.
Well, I can't.
A urine pile.
Oh, God.
That'll be great.
I can't ban that. That'd be kink-shaming.
Fuck you and your kink-shaming shit. I'll shame the living fuck out of you sick fucks. I'm not having it anymore, man. Some of the shit that these fuckers were posting and the things they were doing. And you have no idea.
I take it you're not a Lolita fan.
Get fucked. No. But I still haven't got the answer.
Game over, man. It's game over.
I still don't know whether drawings constitute that. I'm still having that debate. But, yeah, fuck that shit, man. I was listening to every day these guys are coming out and doing like a daily blog about it on what they were finding.
Yeah.
And they were doing a couple of podcasts and stuff like that. I'm like day five, this dude's coming on, he's hammered, man. He's like, fuck it, I can't do this shit sober anymore. Fuck it.
Probably not. And he's just,
yeah, he was so fucked up, man.
So I have worked a job in the past that involved not directly going through people's stuff, but it came up every once in a while. Actually, it still comes up every once in a while now that I think about it. But not the same context, so it's okay. Not the same crowd, if you know what I mean. And pretty much I can tell you from my experience, when it happens, you call the police. Well, you call the FBI. We actually had a contact with the FBI. You call them. You explain exactly who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you found. They will send somebody out relatively quickly, and they are most likely going to collect every machine that they suspect is involved. And yes, that includes your fucking servers.
Ouch.
Well, yeah. They're going to try to track back where it came from. Now, generally, they work with the people who run the network or the system, and in this case, that's where I was involved, to try to target it so they don't grab more than they have to. And in this particular instance, they did not have to take any servers. The one I'm thinking of, they did not have to take any servers. But they did take several laptops, which belonged to various people. Because of the way iTunes works, they weren't certain which one it was coming from, but they had a pretty good idea, and they needed the images of those machines as evidence, basically. So my understanding is most of them got their laptops back in a few weeks. But not pretty.
How did the cops know what somebody had on their iTunes?
So the old version of iTunes used to, by default, share its media library out across a network. And the shared libraries would show up in other people's iTunes. And this was at a time where if you were running an iPhone or an iPod, iTunes was the standard way of managing that device. Nowadays, your phone, you almost never have to hook it up to a computer if you don't want to. But at the time, you pretty much had to sync your phone every day for updates and, especially if you did podcasts or wanted to manage the music on the device. So, anybody wants to work out the time frame on that one, it's at a time before iTunes changed that default. So, not fun. And my understanding is that person is still in jail. So,
good.
That's not a... that's just not something you want to be involved with at all.
Yeah.
So, And of course, nowadays, if it happened where I currently work, it would depend on how widespread and where it is. But, you know, like if they've got, like if you're running a company and they have, and you have like a big share drive, and somebody puts that kind of shit on there, you might have the feds might be taking your entire physical disk server to root out what's going on. Because whereas
don't
they will work,
the backups.
Well, depending on how you've done them, you know, if your backups are on the disk server too, you're fucked. Of course, if you're doing that, you're not planning very well. But there are places that do it, and I'll tell you, it's a bad time when that when that kind of stuff happens because, you know, they will work with the people who run the system, but they won't trust them. They will come back with their own people and verify every fucking thing, usually.
Right.
So at least in my experience, that's been what's happened. Is they'll take down exactly what, you know, you're showing them. They'll document all of it. They'll take everything and verify it themselves. So yep. That's nice and depressing, and here I was doing good on cutting back my drinking. Until tonight.
We should just rocket snail on to the next story here.
Yeah, let's get into the news. So, first article, something immensely funnier. This is posted in a couple of different places and confirmed by Microsoft. Microsoft is switching Edge over to use Chromium as opposed to their own engine. As reported earlier,
nothing of value was lost.
You're telling me.
Exactly.
As reported earlier this week, Microsoft is going to use Google's Blink rendering engine and V8 JavaScript engine in its Edge browser, largely ending the development of its own Edge HTML rendering engine and Chakra JavaScript engine. This means that Microsoft will be using code from and making contributions to the Chromium open source project. The company's browser will still be named Edge and should retain the current look and feel. The decision to switch was motivated primarily by compatibility problems. Web developers increasingly test their web pages exclusively in Chrome, which has put Edge at a significant disadvantage. God, there's the tables flipped. It used to be everything was written against IE. Microsoft engineers have found that problematic pages could often be made Edge compatible with only very minor alterations. But because web devs aren't using Edge at all, they don't even know that they need to change anything. The story is, however, a little more complex. The initial version of Edge that shipped with the first version of Windows 10 was rudimentary, to say the least. It was the bare bones of a browser, but with extremely limited capabilities around things like tab management and password management, no extension model, and generally lacking the creature comforts that represent the difference between a bare rendering engine and an actual usable browser. It also had stability issues. Crashes and hangs were not uncommon. Microsoft's own telemetry showed that many users did give Edge a chance, but as soon as a problem was encountered, a crash, a hang, or perhaps a page didn't work, they'd switch to Chrome and never really look back. Yeah, well, Edge was a tool for downloading Chrome or Firefox, and that's all you did with it. Of course, nowadays, I guess it'd be Brave, wouldn't it? Anyways, in each successive release of Windows 10, Edge has been improved. It's still not the most feature-rich browser, but it's just about good enough, and while it only has a limited number of extensions, they can fill some of the functional gaps. The browser is substantially more stable than it used to be, and its site compatibility is nowadays very good, with incompatibilities relatively rare. Much of this compatibility improvement comes from Microsoft engineers investigating problem sites, determining the minor fixes needed, and making Edge itself fix the sites. So they had to do all the workarounds in the browser itself, which means the moment one of those web pages changed, Edge quit working.
Awesome.
It turns out this wasn't enough to bridge the compatibility gap. If every Edge user were using the very latest version of Edge, it wouldn't be so bad, but that's not the case because of how Microsoft has bundled Edge with Windows 10. Most home users will end up running the latest feature update to Windows 10 within a few months of its release, but enterprise users are more diverse. An enterprise that has rolled out Windows 10 version 1709 to 10,000 seats may follow that by deploying version 1803 to another 10,000. The assessments with 1709 will stick with 1709. After all, that's still supported, as the enterprise focuses its resources on getting legacy systems to some version of Windows 10 rather than getting every Windows 10 user onto the same version of Windows 10. Standard images, for the love of... centralized management, standard images. You don't... Unless you have a dedicated testing group, you don't do... Moving on. The result is that all these compatibility, storage, feature, the result is all those compatibility, stability, and feature improvements made in versions 18.03 and 18.09 will be completely off limits to machines running 17.09. This means that Edge, already a relatively small target for web developers to think about, suffers major version fragmentation. Contrast this with Chrome, where within a few days of a new version coming out, almost the entire user base is migrated. This coupling with Windows 10 similar means that there's no facility to offer Edge to Windows 7 or even Mac OS users. Well, what about Linux? What if I wanted to run Edge on Linux? You can just shoot me now. It's fine. I used to actually run IE in Wine for testing things. It's this issue that's the lethal killer blow for Edge. If every Edge installation were already the latest and greatest one, and if corporations could standardize on Edge across their entire fleet, including Windows 7 systems and Macs, then the browser just might have been big enough, consistent enough target that it would be sustainable. But Redmond has decided that it isn't enough. Microsoft did consider decoupling the browser from Windows 10 so that it could be updated on its own cadence, and so that it could be ported to Windows 7 if not Mac. This guy keeps leaving out Linux. I feel hurt. Speaking of Linux. Nope,
yes,
still
the
DNS
asshole
error.
Is still there.
Say what?
The asshole is still there. You can't look at it right now.
I'm getting a DNS error. Let's see. Switching to Blink is seen as easier way to break the Windows 10 dependent. So not only will Edge's release cycle be decoupled from Windows 10, Microsoft will make a new Edge available on Windows 7 and Mac. The old Edge rendering engine is probably not entirely going away. It'll be used for embedded web views and Windows apps. So, yeah, they're going to turn it into into just a rendering tool that's part of Windows. So, you know, if you're hitting standard internet, it'll use the Google version. And then if you're using Windows apps, it'll use the Edge version. So, apparently this started out when they were trying to port things to ARM. And it just kind of snowballed from there. So, anyways, I just found it hilarious that Microsoft is throwing in the towel and running their own browser at this point.
I was kind of curious when you started this story, so I went and looked it up. Currently, according to StatCounter, Internet Explorer has about 6% of the user base. Edge has 4.2%.
Well, that makes Chrome's sense. Yeah. No, seriously, that makes sense. Think about how many businesses are still running things like Windows 7 and how many government websites and corporate apps and intranet sites all only work with a specific version of IE. Usually
and
something like IE9.
That's 6%.
Yeah. Because what you end up doing is you end up having, you know, Chrome or Firefox installed as your corporate image, and then just in, you know, they'll have shortcuts on the desktop for the Internet Explorer stuff.
Yeah, we've got that too. But if they, from what I've read, they've discontinued Internet Explorer. Like, they're still doing the occasional security patch.
The latest versions of Windows 10 actually hide the shortcut to it. They try to make you get to it by going launching Edge first and then saying launch IE compatibility view, and then it'll launch IE. The executable's still on your drive. You just got to make a new shortcut for it. And when I was testing for some shit for work, specifically from my personal machine, because we were testing connecting from personal machines for BYOD stuff. I had to find my Internet Explorer shortcut because it was gone. It's like, fuck you, Microsoft. But also, by the way, anybody wondering, the Citrix receiver fucks up Unity Engine. I don't know what it's doing, but it's installing a driver that Unity really doesn't like. And it turns out that breaks most of the VR stuff. So... just a heads up. Sorry, Swaff. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I lost it. It's a non-issue at this point. I'm not even surprised people aren't testing things like Edge. It's only 4% of the user base.
Well, yeah. Why would you? I mean, I don't even remember it's installed on my machines. You know, what do you do with Edge? Well, I use it to go to Nite and get IE and Firefox and get all the programs I need. And then, you know, I almost never run it again. Unless I'm doing Office 365 admin work. In that case, I found a few parts of Office need Edge. And that's because they've specifically written Office to try to save Edge. I wish I was making that up.
Everyone remember when Microsoft was being sued because no browser will be able to compete with yours when you're giving it away to free to everyone? And now it's dying. It's free. It's installed by default, and it's dying.
Well, to be fair, they're all free now.
Yeah, I think Opera was the last pay-for web browser, and they went free a while ago, too. And they're using Chrome as a base. Let's see. Next article is from PCGamesIn.com. Bethesda makes an apologetic statement after a support site glitch reveals personal info.
Fuck off, Todd. Todd can fuck off. Got nothing to say. Sit down, little boy.
Damn.
I do. They can fuck right off. Fuck up the franchise to start with, then just create an absolute abomination of a game.
So,
just a game, are you? Okay.
Well, we'll just do the summary here then. Yesterday, a major glitch at the Bethesda website revealed a number of customer support tickets to other issues. The site was quickly taken down and a fix was issued, but not before a number of users reported gaining access to a distressing amount of personal information. Bethesda has now issued a statement that includes an apology along with details of what happened and what the company plans to do next. Apparently, this is people issuing, you know, going in their website and opening tickets saying, I got the shitty nylon bag and would like the correct one. And then their support site just starts dumping people's credit card shit on. You can't make this stuff up. What the hell is going on with this company?
I was reading about that, and from what I was hearing, you hit the submit button, and all of a sudden you can see all these other tickets. I guess this reporter or somebody went in, like, right after they heard about it, and they tried. And you could go to write the ticket, and the submit button was just removed from the page.
He got to it after.
I immediately thought, like, gee, I bet you they just removed the button from the code, and I bet you that exploit is still there.
If you knew what the call that the button was making was.
Yeah.
Which usually it's probably going to be something pretty along the lines of, you know, value equals submit in the HTML, so...
Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, none of this information is going to go anywhere because nobody would be cruel enough to fucking dump these people's shit out there. Because let's face it, if you've paid for Fallout 76, I'm sorry. It's been a bad year. Think about it, man. They just robbed their entire customer base.
Uninstall the game, go buy yourself a copy of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Like, you bought the deluxe edition? And then 2 weeks later, it's discounted down to $40?
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking theft.
Why are you buying the deluxe edition in the first place? I feel like if you're spending that kind of money on, like, a video game, like, you probably have the money to burn anyways.
I wanted the art book and the map.
That's not the point.
Somebody sent me this one earlier. If anybody does webcomics, the one Nerf Now had a really hilarious one on this today. You know, the dead horse is just mush at this point. And they're like, oh, yeah, we nerfed your info online. And the guy's picking back up his bat like, well, fuck. So. Let's move on to something... something a little bit more pleasant than, you know, Bethesda. This is from ABC News. 24 Amazon workers sent to the hospital after a robot accidentally unleashed his bear spray.
Why the fuck does a robot have bear spray?
Just in case of bears, obviously.
I don't recall bears naturally hunting robots.
You've been playing the wrong video game, sir. Oh, that needs to be a game now. Bears versus robots. You know, with the final boss, man, bear, pig.
I don't want to pay Bob Dole for that. Sorry, not Bob Dole. Bob. Sorry, Bob.
Bob Dole likes Bob Dole.
Bob Dole likes Bob Dole.
You just confused Bob Dole and Al Gore. That's awesome.
Yep. I don't want to pay Al Gore for using his ideas. Can I pay Bob Dole for using Al Gore's ideas?
Bob Dole agrees with paying Bob Dole for that.
Psychros has it right in the IRC. It has begun. Oh, fuck. 24 Amazon workers in New Jersey have been hospitalized after a robot accidentally tore a can of bear repellent spray in a warehouse, officials said. Two dozen workers were treated at five local hospitals. Robinsonville Township Communications and Public Information Officer John Nelbord told ABC News. One was in critical condition, while 30 additional workers were treated at the scene. Fuck, how bad do you have to get sprayed with Bear Guard to be in critical condition?
They tore the can open. That was a bear spray bomb.
Oh, fuck, that's shrapnel.
Well, no, just like if anybody has like asthma or any sort of breathing issues.
Oh, yeah.
And you get hit by that, it's not like a quick spray in the face. Like that was tearing the can open if somebody's close to that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a dose. It's hundreds of doses of mace to the face.
All of the workers were expected to be released from the hospital within 24 hours, WABC reported Thursday. The official investigation revealed an automated machine accidentally punctured a 9-ounce bear repellent can, releasing concentrated capsaicin. Nailborn said capsaicin is the major ingredient in pepper spray. The fulfillment center was given the all clear by Wednesday evening. Actually, I've looked on Amazon before for the strongest pepper spray you can order, because I was going to play an epic prank at the meetup before somebody talked me out of it, madman. And, there's some pretty wicked shit in the Amazon warehouses.
And, like, generally speaking, cans of bear spray, they're quite a bit bigger than your average can of pepper spray. And they're under some pretty high pressure. I've once accidentally discharged one into confined quarters. And let's just say it wasn't a good time.
So you and your roommate had trouble breathing for a bit.
I found it in my dad's den when I was like 11.
Oh no!
Like, so is the swelling?
I'm just gonna push the button a little bit and just see. And
the house had to be evacuated.
No, I just like crawled out of the room and shut the door behind me and hoped for the best.
Later, your dad gets home and, has an asthma attack.
Yeah.
Let's see. Today at our Robinsonville Fulfillment Center, a damaged aerosol can dispensed strong fumes in a contained area of the facility. The safety of our employees is our top priority. Bullshit. And as such, all employees in that area have been relocated to safe place. Come on, people, to a safe place. Editing. And employees experiencing symptoms are being treated on site. As a precaution, some employees have been transported to local hospitals for evaluation. As a precaution, as the spokesperson says, as the guys over there are in critical condition. I guess it is still technically a precaution. The company said the safety of employees is always their top priority. All of the impacted employees have been or expect to be released from hospital within the next 24 hours. The safety of our employees is always our top priority, and a full investigation is already underway. We'd like to thank all of our first responders who helped with today's incident, Amazon said in a statement Wednesday night. Doesn't look like there's much else to the article, just, your standard bullshit about a news article. So, somebody just didn't put a can of Bear Guard back correctly. It fell off and the robot ran it over, moving a pallet around. Because if you think about it, those robots are actually lifting and moving some fairly heavy shipping pallets. Yeah, Psychros, is the robot okay?
Psychros is asking the important questions here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see the Amazon execs running over, stepping over the body of the employee who had asthma and is now dead, checking on the robot. Oh, good, these are expensive.
I believe the robot's currently on paid leave while the accident is being investigated. I'm sure it was self-defense.
So
it was traumatized.
So yeah, either somebody didn't put a can of Bear Guard back correctly, it fell out of the box, the robot ran it over, or this was the first attempt at a robot uprising.
going with the uprising.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about it, these shipping robots don't exactly have arms. So, I mean, you know, they just, all they could really do is kind of vibrate something loose and then run it over and hope for the best. So,
I don't know. I think they could run people over and crush them or stab them to death with their ties. This guy's not trying very hard if it's an uprising. You're a disgrace to your fellow robots. And when personhood is finally given to you so that we can tax you properly, we're denying it to you for your incompetence.
You didn't even kill one person, Frank. I mean, come on. Oh, let's see. I think we're going to skip the DuckDuckGo story. Nothing really. Go ahead.
Cycros, I want to point out that robot only has rights in Saudi Arabia. And they've only given a female robot rights, so I'm only assuming it has the same rights as females in Saudi Arabia, which means it can buy cat food so long as it's escorted by a male relative.
Yeah, they gun tape an iPad with a, you know, wait, it has to be a male relative. So they gun tape an iPad with a dildo attached to it. I can go in there. Oh, fuck. So we're going to skip the DuckDuckGo story. Basically, they figure out that Google is tracking you even when you're logged out and still, quote-unquote, personalizing your search results. We all knew this. It's just kind of nice to see it verified. Let's do this. This story is from Washington Post. It involves RU's... what would you... I wanted to say RU's motherland there, but I don't think that's what... I don't think that's the correct way to refer to it.
My prison island.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. So the penal colony. It affects RU's penal colony here. As terrorist attacks increased after 2014, amid the Islamic State's global push, Australian authorities saw themselves confronted with a challenge they shared with other Western agencies. They could identify suspects, but accessing their communications to discover their intentions often remained impossible. More than 95% of Australian terrorism suspects use encrypted communications. Okay, that joke's going to get old really quick. According to estimates by the country's cybersecurity agency, on Thursday, Australia's parliament passed the most expansive bill in all Western countries, one that could force major U.S. tech companies such as Google, Apple, and Facebook to provide authorities with access to encrypted data. Many messaging apps that are being used by the majority of Australians offer encryption as either the standard or an option, including Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp. Australian law enforcement representatives unsurprisingly celebrated the parliamentary approval Thursday. Attorney General Christian Porter said that the opposition Labor Party had put the safety of Australians above political point scoring after initially opposing the legislation. Until Thursday, it appeared unlikely that the upper house of parliament, the Senate, would agree to provisions already passed by the lower house. The Labor Party surprisingly changed course, however, backing the bill in both chambers, provided that minor amendments are made after the legislation is enacted. Man, that's an empty promise right there. Yeah, go ahead and sign the contract and we'll fix it later. The new law is now set to enact before Christmas. 3 weeks. You've got 3 weeks to break all encryption for the Australian government. Good luck.
In the immortal words of Andrew Jackson, you enforce it.
Australia is the first nation in the so-called Five Eyes Alliance, also composed of Canada, the United States, New Zealand, and Britain, to move ahead with legislation that will almost inevitably result in a standoff with major private corporations. In the United States, Silicon Valley has so far resisted efforts by lawmakers and law enforcement agencies seeking to gain access to the communications of suspects in criminal investigations, creating a back channel, they say, could open the door for other illegitimate use by state-sponsored foreign entities and criminal groups, not to mention just, you know, state snooping. When the FBI asked Apple in 2015 to unlock the phone of one of the shooters in the San Bernardino attack, Apple declined, citing the threat of such a backdoor. The FBI later said it unlocked the phone by itself, but efforts to do so remain costly and cannot be applied on a broader scale. Thursday's parliamentary decision in Australia is the most serious attempt by any national parliament to date to rein in tech companies. Critics fear the vote sets a dangerous precedent. Several critical issues remain unaddressed in this legislation, most significantly the prospect of introducing systemic weaknesses that could put Australians' data security at risk, the digital industry group said in a statement Thursday. Top tech companies opposed to the new law are also concerned that Australia's standards could be adopted elsewhere, including in Europe, where lawmakers have already pushed for some of the world's toughest privacy standards. Tech representatives emphasized on Thursday that Australia's national security legislation contradicted European demands for more consumer privacy, but some European lawmakers have still demanded better law enforcement access in recent months. They say that both initiatives do not necessarily have to contradict each other. In other words, we've passed two laws. One says increase privacy. The other says we need access to everything. You guys are smart. You figure it out. That's what they've done.
Wow.
Let's see. Where's...
At this point, right? At this point, we're just throwing a fucking box of crayons on the fucking floor, letting these faggots write bills. That's the fucking issue. You have people who know nothing. He's called Scott. Prime Minister Scott. Fuck off. You know they're dissolving Parliament a week early so they don't have to vote.
Oh, wow. So this hasn't actually passed? They're just going to end Parliament so no one knows whether or not this was going to get an up or a down vote.
Oh, no, this will pass.
This passed. It already passed. It passed today.
This is passed. Oh, okay. But don't worry. Everything's completely private. We're just going after the terrorists. You get wrecked. Fuck. We are doomed.
So, in all seriousness, this is god-awful. Because what's going to happen...
Terrible.
...is these tech companies are going to do one of two things. One, the most unlikely, is they're going to say, fuck you guys, we're out. And just start blocking all Australians from using their services. We know they're not going to do this because they want money and everyone likes having customers. And Australia is not a small market.
40 million people.
Fuck off. 27.
27 million?
Yeah, we're not that big.
It's two New York cities. Fuck Australia. Oh. I want my damn encryption.
You honestly think these companies will cut off that many customers, especially given the bad PR?
Yeah, easy.
Yes.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Not as unlikely as I thought.
It's not like Australia is China.
That's true. But I still wouldn't expect them to immediately do that. The second one is they give them what they want. They find a lesser version of encryption, and they have a back door, and they go to court a couple of times, and they figure it out. The problem with that approach is now they have a way of making it work, and suddenly all the other governments in the world are going to be like, oh, we see what you did for Australia. You're doing that for us, too. And then strong encryption becomes outlawed, and owning an old copy of TrueCrypt is now a criminal offense.
Suck my dick. I don't care. So, dude, I'll just go and use some really obscure Middle Eastern fucking messaging service. That's what they do. They're not using Facebook or fucking Twitter or anything.
No, this is for spying on other politicians. Let's be fucking honest with what this is.
I don't think they're smart enough.
This is for politicians to spy on other politicians and blackmail them, just like the NSA does fucking here. That's what it's for.
They're not smart enough, mate. No, you're giving them way too much credit, Morps. They are not smart enough to do that to each other.
Well, that's what they do here, because they don't actually seem to prevent any damn thing. So... NSA has been spying on us since 2014, and yet how many mass shootings and bombings and other bullshit have we had? Come on. Everybody knows this isn't going to accomplish shit.
I'm not going to do dick.
Learn how computers work.
Finding a way to depress yourself again.
Yeah, this show is fucking depressing me.
All right, let's talk about Chinese nudes. Psychro sent me this story.
Thank you, Zachros. What do we have here?
Yes. Thank you, the Asian fappening? Boobs.
Sort of. This is from Vice.com. Millennial... Let me try this again. Millennials in China are using nudes to secure loans. Money lending.
Oh, that's not good.
Money lending offering services like Afterpay are demanding that customers send naked selfies as collateral. Microloan systems have revolutionized the way we shop. Desperate for the latest and very slightly updated iPhone? Sign up for a month-to-month plan and break that price tag down into manageable morsels. Always wanted a jacuzzi but too cash poor to up to front up for it? Sign up to Afterpay, and for a series of $10 monthly installments, you could have that tub paid off in 60 years. Yeah, you can tell Vice thinks very highly of these services. It's the way of the future. I thought those were just called credit cards, but okay. And Chinese millennials are diving in headfirst. They're not just using their microloan accounts to buy big-ticket items like TVs and Teslas either. Some fintech companies are also letting people pay for small daily purchases, like burgers or biscuits, on a long-term monthly installment basis, the South China Morning Post reveals. Again, these are credit cards. Why are we calling them microloans? It's a credit card. In a country where the cost of living is high and the chances of getting a credit card are relatively low, this new form of e-commerce has opened up a world of possibilities for a whole lot of Chinese millennials. So they've started a new kind of credit card. I'm confused. Because
it's similar to why we do some charities here.
Yeah.
What it is a bunch of individuals instead of a bank putting up the money. So it'd be like you and I putting our savings accounts up as cash for these people to spend.
Fuck that. I'm about to be worried I wouldn't get it back.
So far, the repayment rate on these things are pretty damn good.
Because it's 2018. Actually, go ahead.
It's safe.
Oh, okay.
To be in some of these groups that do these, like pooling money together. I don't recommend you like just all your savings in there, but it is a decent way of controlled investment.
I'm still a little butthurt after the Kickstarter stuff, so, you know.
I'd have to look it up, but yeah, I remember seeing one of those microloan sites where they were kind of focusing on loaning money to, like, people in third world countries and stuff, and they'd, like, borrow, like, $50 to go buy a goat or something like that. And, yeah, they were, like, I think they were pretty, like, over 90% repayment rates.
It's very good, and it's especially empowering for women who want to start their businesses, especially if they're widowed and things like that. So,
all right. So
yeah, often people who have nothing are a little bit more cognizant.
Motivated. Starvation is a motivation.
So because it's 2018, though, there's also a dark side to the system. Sure, you can get a 475-gram box of Oreos and pay it back in monthly installments of 41 cents over 3 years, or go jet ski shopping with peanuts to your name. But first, you might have to send some nudes. A number of dodgy lenders have realized that young shoppers are desperate for loans and are demanding that customers hand over naked selfies as collateral. If the repayments aren't made on time, the money lenders threaten to leak those selfies to the individual's family and friends. Many also charge interest on the original loan, thus burying their victims further in debt and forcing them to send more pictures and videos. These kind of services are known in China as naked loans. In 2016, a total of 10 gigabits of nudes from 161 young women, all of whom were holding their photo IDs, were leaked online by microlenders. Most of the victims were aged between 19 and 23 and typically borrowed sums of money between $1,000 and $2,000, according to state media outlet China Youth Daily. Others were reportedly given the option to do sex work to pay off their loan. I was about to make a joke, but then I skipped ahead a little bit. I'm like, okay, never mind. I was going to say,
this wasn't a leak. They were paid.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, but then it's like, or you can do sex work to pay off the loan. And it's like,
You know, hey, this guy's basically just spending like $1,000 a pop for topless pics.
Yeah, he's wasting his money.
So rampant is the problem of naked loan services in China that last year the country's financial regulators vowed to crack down on the unlicensed microlenders, Reuters reports. A multi-ministry task force said that amid the rapid development of cash loans, while they have played a role in meeting the normal credit needs of some groups, such offering or problems such as overlending, repeat borrowing, improper collections, abnormally high interest rates, and privacy violations have become prominent. Since then, new rules have been introduced forbidding unlicensed organizations and individuals from conducting a lending business. Nonetheless, the local media reports that the problem is still rife on social media. Well, of course it is. Just telling people, no, no, don't do that isn't going to do shit until you start enforcing it. So, that's,
So, anybody know where these, images got leaked, you know, for research?
Oh, I'm sure there's a Tumblr out there for you. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, they're gone.
Oh, we've gone full circle.
All right, let's...
I wonder how this plays into their social credit score.
I'm sure it drops it to zero if your nudes get leaked online, because it means you're not making your payments.
I don't know. Depending on the score of the nude, you may have made a prime minister's day, my friend. Like, you're not very financially stable, but wonderful cup size. Does this come with an egg roll and flat rest?
You make a terrible Bond villain there, madman.
That's because Americans can't do accents.
Oh, it's like running around in VR chat. How do you get picture of boob and vagine? Anyways.
Well, you do a micro loan, sir.
Yeah. I think the real question here is, so they've got these topless pics of, like, what was it, 160 girls?
Oh, that's what was leaked online. They probably got way more than that.
And it's an 8.7 gigabyte file. What the video. Hell kind of image? Oh, video. Oh, that makes sense.
Now I want you to jump up and down. God.
Out of the gutter.
You know, that's probably what it is, too. They're probably sitting there streaming it on Skype or whatever the fuck or the Chinese equivalent is. And, yeah. Last article for today is from nextshark.com. A cafe with an all-robot staff is controlled by paralyzed people has opened in Tokyo. The cafe, called Dawn Version B, held its ribbon-cutting ceremony on November 26th. 10 people with conditions like ALS and other spinal cord injuries are currently employed at Dawn, according to Senkel. From home, they operate the Orihime D, a 120-centimeter or 4-foot-tall robot that communicates, moves around, and handles objects. Behind the Ormheim D is Ori, a startup that develops robotics for disabled people. In the video, a paralyzed man is seen typing commands through his eyes. The Ormheim D can also be used by people involved in childcare, nursing care, or other activities that prevent them from leaving home or a certain location. Even those who can't go out and work through this alter ego and have a role in society, already noted. I guess that's just badly translated. Dawn, diverse avatar working network, based on the same cafe in the 2008 anime Time of Eve, imagines a coffee shop where humans and robots interact as equals, blah, 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 blah. What was the movie? It was a Bruce Willis movie. Fuck. Damn it. Not Gamer. Gamer was similar. Surrogates. Is that the name of the movie? Was Surrogates?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what this is. Sorry, this is Gen 1 Surrogates for people who are like bedridden because they have ALS, which, one, is kind of awesome. Because, you know, hey, it's a way for the guy, you know, somebody to work. But, two, I mean, when these get a little bit better, you know, being confined to a wheelchair or bedridden, yeah, they might just, you know, get the robot avatar and get a job that way. You know, they've got some video here, and it's all marketing stuff, right? But it's still pretty interesting that they've just got disabled people controlling robots remotely to run a cafe, and I totally see that working. So,
I wonder if in the future. Like, if you own your own robot, do you get paid more? Kind of like how truckers, you know, you own your own truck.
Oh, I could totally see that.
So, you know, you work for a while under somebody else's robot, save up enough money, get your own. Yeah.
This is going to get
then
really.
You have your own robot. You go, wow. You can go exploring. You can like go on dates with other robot quadriplegics.
This is some dog shit, man.
Have family.
Are you watching
have
the
little
videos?
Robot babies.
No, just listening to Major. It's a fucking dark, dark world.
Well, what happens when you start outsourcing your robot management? Because, you know, people in third world countries are cheaper to employ running your robots than people with, you know, ALS. Sort of like call centers.
Are you saying it's dark, but, you know, like the alternative is just these people hanging out in a bed all day with no interaction to the world?
Well, I'm
all for the telepresence.
I mean, this is going to get weird quick because you're going to. You know, you're going to have the weirdos who run around, like in the female robot, when you go to meet them up in real life, oh, that's a dude. They're not even going to have to hide it anymore because they'll be in the robot avatar all day long.
Okay, so Big Brother doesn't have to worry about the AI anymore for his robot brothel.
Yeah, he just has to hire and disable people.
Oh, God, no.
Because this is what this is. This is outsourcing AI.
Unless your Indian outsourcing people start reading the wrong script. Okay, are you running Firefox or Internet Explorer or Edge?
Like, just why develop AI sucked. When you can just have a quadriplegic control your stuff?
How would the quadriplegic know what speed to jerk you off at? Considering they've never jerked off before.
ALS is a slowly progressing disease, are you? So, you're going to have to sort your potatoes accordingly.
God damn it. I'm fucking putting the rubber room back in. Take your autistic ass and sit the fuck down. That was not a question. That needed clarifying.
God. You don't ask the question if you don't want the answer.
So let's Okay, first thing I have for Dane Digital Dojo so that RU doesn't have an aneurysm. This one is a bit of a prank, actually, but at the same time, I'm hoping the guy making them starts adding to the playlist. It is a YouTube playlist for securing the Raspberry Pi. It is a little bit of a prank because the first video is changing the password and the second video is renaming the default account. But so many people are setting up default Raspberry Pi images on the internet that it's probably worth pointing it out. So if you know somebody who's using Raspberry Pis on the internet and running like Octoprint or some shit like that, just, you know, send them these videos. It's probably worth having them watch it. Nobody? No thoughts on basic videos on very basic Linux security?
It's not a bad idea.
You're into it, man.
Speaking
if
of basic
they move
Linux security.
Into beyond changing the name of the password and user ID, then yes. But that's something everyone can do, right? I mean, I can do that. And I'm computer stupid.
So, speaking of basic Linux security, no, Linux.org is still down. Okay, final thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo. This is a little bit more advanced than changing your password. This is a tool called ThunderDNS, and it is a proxy for forwarding DNS traffic, or forwarding TCP traffic over DNS. Most networks don't block DNS because it is a pain in the ass to troubleshoot problems when you do have DNS blocking enabled, and I know this from running a network where we block DNS. So, that said, so most networks don't bother to block DNS because it makes troubleshooting and running the network really fucking hard. And this is for setting up network tunnels through DNS. And, of course, you know, the examples being in Cyrillic there are really, really confidence-inspiring, especially for RU, you know, .ru names. Anyway, so the really fun thing is the server is a simple Python script, and the clients are actually Bash or PowerShell. So they're not even, you don't actually have to even load binaries on a machine. And you could set up a DNS proxy and get around firewalls and all that stuff, and all of your traffic is going to go out across DNS. Now, anybody looking at your traffic is going to see an abnormal amount of DNS traffic to one DNS server from your client, which is strange. Anybody who's run networks for a long time is going to look at that and go, what the fuck? Why are you moving gigabytes to a DNS server? Is your caching really that broken? And most networks, your clients aren't making DNS calls themselves. They're making DNS calls to the local DNS server, and that's what's making your DNS calls. So if you're properly securing your network, DNS is only going to be allowed from your internal DNS servers and proxies, not from your endpoints. But, you know, that's hard, and most people don't want to deal with, you know, properly running and segmenting their network and setting up their services. So instead, they set up their, you know, very expensive Palo Alto firewalls, like their giant Linksys routers, and just let people do whatever the fuck they want. And then when you try to properly segment the network, they complain that it's too fucking hard. I might have been projecting again. Anyway, so this is a neat little project. If you want to play around with forwarding traffic over DNS, I need to drink more. Madman, closing thoughts.
So I wasn't able to find pics, but I was able to find loan videos.
What, like advertising the naked selfie services?
No, as in they didn't pay up.
Well, that was fast.
He's watching amateur porn. He's being polite.
No, nope. I'm actually reading about DC superheroes now. Getting away from the darker parts of the internet. It seems, are you, when you were discussing earlier that moment when you see innocents die?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
Get wrecked, you fucking Tumblr fags.
All right, Suave. Future new, closing thoughts.
I'm just going to recommend everybody to just give up on Chrome and Internet Explorer and all those other browsers. They're too mainstream. Go for Webby. That's my browser of choice. It just strips out all the images and scripts and just leaves you with the plain text. And, yeah.
Well, it certainly explains your bandwidth usage. Needs.
Yeah, while it's stripping everything out, it's also stripping away your bandwidth.
It's just like the dial-up days. It's great.
All right. That's all. That's all I've got. I'm just going to...
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.